Hey, hey, wizard, and welcome back to the Wizards of Ita podcast. This is your host, Naomi. Today I have on Ita Bryan. He is a serial entrepreneur. He is also the founder and CEO of Page One, a full-service Amazon creative agency offering brand and advertising management, as well as an individual creative services designed to increase engagement and conversation. Kit, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Hello.
Hi, Naomi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for accepting to be on the podcast. This is the second
time. It's
a pleasure
to be here.
This is the second time. So yeah, you're a second timer. That means that you're really, really good. So kudos to you.
Or you're just really short of guests, right?
Oh, wow. Let's not put it that way because that's not true, right?
I know. You guys probably have more than you could ever possibly have on.
100%.
That's so great.
Yeah. So Kit, I loved one of your recent posts on LinkedIn, and it was about, I think it was a quote, and it was about what people don't see that goes in the background that makes you you, or makes everything that it's actually the moment everyone sees, right? And if you can, like, I'm going to go into it a bit. And I really love that quote, because most of the time what I feel is people just coming, like becoming business owners, they don't know where someone started. They see only where they are at, right? They see only the end goal and the final, right? And most of the time, I think that while that is great, people don't understand what goes in the background and the struggles and everything, what it takes. And since you are a serial entrepreneur and have been working for a lot of years in marketing, personal development, and everything what it takes to create a great mindset in order to become an efficient entrepreneur, I think that is something that I would love to talk with you about. But like, I have the quote here right in front of me. So it says that you don't get the moments everyone sees without all the moments when no one is watching. So what are your thoughts on that? And why did you post it first off?
Yeah, it's interesting. So that is actually, I'm not even sure what the brand is, but it was a commercial on when I was watching a pickleball tournament. Now, for most people listening, they're like, what the hell is pickleball, right? They're like, not only what is pickleball, but this guy actually watches the tournament, right? Like, it's and it was a paddle manufacturer, I believe, that put that quote out as part of their commercial. And I think, like, you know, there's a few things, and why I just think it's there's so much about the industry that people, or any business, right, you know, that people are learning about. And it's almost like the social media experience of someone's life, right? So you know, people posting on Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, like, you know, what they post, it's not that it's not real, but it's the highlight reel, right? It's a collection of all the best times, right? So, you know, not taking anything away from the highlight reel, because those things are important. It's important to celebrate our successes and honor ourselves for achieving goals and things like that. But behind all of that, right? Like, behind the scenes of all of that, is a lot of, like, thankless and grueling days that, you know, that you're not sharing with anybody, because it's not interesting, it's not that exciting, it's hard work. And so, you know, like, for sports, same thing, right? Like, you know, any activity that we do that we've got to pursue over a period of time, that takes us to progress through different stages and levels of skill, you know, behind, like, the best shot of the day, or that pose, or you know, people clapping for you, is just flat out a lot of hard ass work, right? And often work that you don't feel like doing. You know, and so it's, I just thought it was such a great way to acknowledge, like, sure, you're seeing them on TV on a Saturday, but, you know, that's because the thousands of hours that they spent drilling on that one same shot, right? you know? And so it's, you know, it's not the exact transfer over to entrepreneurship, but it's pretty darn close, right? Like, you know, people hear about, as we talked about pregame, like people hear about being able to, you know, be full-time entrepreneur and leave a job and whatnot. And it's always easy to see, like, you know, these posts of top line revenue and we did this, we did that. But again, it's because they've over, you know, that person's overcome challenge after challenge after challenge. Generally speaking, you know, the path of a successful entrepreneur is not smooth. It's jagged and rocky, right?
Definitely. And I love how you put it. And thank you so much for making it sound even better that I wanted to ask you. Yes, exactly. That's what I wanted to ask you. So most of the time, what I also see on my end is whenever we see someone become who they are today, we don't see all the, they're in the spotlight. We don't see everything what they went through. And this is why I wanted to invite you on, because I think that you have a lot to share when it comes to this, since it's really like grinding. Sometimes it's really like, it's hard. It's, you don't want to do it, but you have to do it because there's sure. like no other way, right? So in your own words, how do you see, or how would you define entrepreneurship?
Oh, well, that's interesting. I don't know if you can unpack that one in one answer. So, because I think, like, you know, starting as an entrepreneur or wanting to be an entrepreneur, you know, the Mark Cuban's famous for saying, you know, you're not an entrepreneur, you're a wantrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's, you know, it's crafting an idea, right, that is going to fulfill a specific need in the market, right? And then following through with the discipline necessary to bring that idea, you know, to fruition. And beyond just bringing it through to the market, it's doing what's necessary to accelerate in the market, right? You know, if it was just about bringing an idea to market, right? I mean, how many people do we know that have great ideas that never do anything about them or sit on them? I mean, there's at least three different software ideas in the Amazon space that I've had over the last 8 years that are now someone else's business reality, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for a lot of people. We have an idea about something, you know, either we don't pull the trigger fast enough, or we don't take the time to develop it. And someone else actually just gets off their ass and does it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's bringing something to market in a way that's sustainable. And then really, I mean, to me, discipline is the glue behind the scenes. And, you know, I've struggled with discipline my entire life. You know, I have some areas of my world that I'm incredibly disciplined on, probably like a lot of people. And then some areas that I just like notoriously cut myself way too much slack on and I'm not very disciplined. But you know, at 51, I got to work a lot harder than I used to maintain certain things. Yeah.
I love that you mentioned discipline. Sorry, have you finished?
No, go ahead.
You mentioned discipline. So I think that's a super important topic that I would just like to ask a few more questions about. So discipline, which do you think are the most important things that you should be disciplined about, and which ones you should like really cut yourself a slack for it, because it's like, it doesn't really matter.
When it comes to business, I would say, I think, you know, it largely depends on your goals, right? So, I think business or outside of business, to me, being disciplined around your health is really, really super important. And you know, I think there's lots of levels of that, right? But it's very, very difficult to do anything worthwhile, you know, when you're battling against your own body and your own mind and all these things. So, you know, mental and physical health, I think, are the cornerstone to everything, right? So I think those are for me anyway, those two, you can't overcome anything if those two are off, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you do, it'll be short-lived, or, you know, you go hard on business and you put your health on the back burner, and then you, you know, then you put yourself in a dire situation. And, you know, so some people can pile, you know, power through business without being in good health, but eventually that one's going to catch up to you. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, like I just turned 51 last month. And so like, you know, this has gone through various waves, right? I had to do a lot less in my 20s to maintain that. But like, you know, like I'm a week into now of trying to really cut back on sugar, and it's hard, man. It's hard, you know, like, you know, and especially in America, we've built a culture that sugar is in friggin' everything, right? It's in everything. So I think that's really important. And, I think, you know, one of the, you know, that one of the, I'm trying to read, remember the guy's name, Jack Canfield, one of the inventors of Chicken Soup for the Soul. I'm not sure which book it was of his or podcast, but, you know, he was all around, you know, 3 to 5 most important tasks a day. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think in today's business climate, like you've got to figure out where the priorities are in your business, right? What actually moves the needle? Because the things that don't really move the needle are amazingly good at grabbing your attention, right? It's so super easy to get distracted by, you know, a variety of things. And so I think, you know, having discipline around what I'd say call your big rocks in business is absolutely a priority. Continuing to kind of sharpen the saw, right? As opposed to just sawing the wood, continuously getting better, like, and building yourself up from an educational standpoint is super important. You know, especially in e-commerce. I mean, things change so fast. And then I think the last would be just the discipline around focus, right? Like, you know, just when you're clear about the path, really dialing into it. And that one's probably the hardest for most is, you know, not getting distracted by the shiny objects. And, you know, at the end of the day, although lots of things are changing in the e-commerce world, I mean, Amazon changes so fast now. The core fundamentals are still what make most brands the most money. You know, the trick plays and the fancy schmancy this, that, or the other. The end of the day, the businesses, the brands that do their core fundamentals the best generally win.
100%. So based on that, since your company is like really helping sellers, small or large, since 2014 or even more, right? In really being successful, what do you see that most sellers, especially newbie sellers, make when they are coming to the platforms? And what do you see that's, yeah, the most common mistakes that they would make?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think, I don't know about the most common, but I think a common mistake newer brands make is they just underestimate what it's going to take, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen people, I mean, we don't work with a lot of smaller brands as an agency, but, or new upstart with some, you know, I've seen people, you know, have a budget and blow it on product development, have no money left over for marketing or creative assets, you know, or get to like the fundamental side of their, like the marketing side of their business. And they want to get cheap, right? Mm-hmm. Like they spend all this time and money manufacturing this phenomenal product, and then they go to Fiverr for photography, and it's just so dumb. It's just not smart. I mean, not that you can't get good quality work done on Fiverr, you can. It's just not likely, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you might go through 10 different designers to get a good graphic designer, and you know, so I think, you know, a big thing is people get cheap, you know, mm-hmm. on the back end. And honestly, that's really where you want to start doubling down on your investment, because that's the stuff that moves the needles. There's great products everywhere that aren't marketed very well, and no one knows what they are.
100% when it comes to design, and when it comes also to advertising, as you were saying, they're investing a lot of time in developing a beautiful product, and it's a great product, but if no one sees the product, and after they see it, no one sees what is the product and how it's going to help them. That's like, definitely, I agree to that. Do you think it has to do with the, because you're an entrepreneur and I'm an entrepreneur and we've been doing business and we've been like looking at so many sellers and we also ourselves selling on Amazon, we learned this, but do you think it has to do with a mindset that not understanding what really takes to like dominate this category or like in general business?
I think it's part of it. I think, I mean, generally, like, you know, things take more time and money than most people want to you know, believe. And, you know, also just the market changes. Like, it's very rare because product development takes, you know, a fairly long time, right? So, you know, you start looking at something today and you decide, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger. I'm going to make this, right? And you do all your, you know, you're doing all your work at the, you know, finding a factory and all this kind of stuff, right? And you finally nail down your design, your direction, this is where you're going to go. By the time you get that to the market, right? Like the market's changed a bit from when you started studying it, right? Like I remember my first product when I first started looking at it, and it took me, I was running another business and all this thing. So it took me a while before I actually pulled the trigger on getting the first one, you know, actually selling. But when I first looked at it, like it was total blue ocean, right? The private label guys had not moved into this space yet. And it was mostly dominated by large, you know, internationally recognized brands, which, you know, should excite you as a private label person, right? Because they're slow and lazy and don't generally do a great job on Amazon. They're getting better at it now, but back then, if it was a niche dominated by big brands, you had a really good chance, right? But I remember by the time I got to market, like it was flooded with private label sellers that just executed faster than I did on the manufacturing side, and it was a very different space, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think it's and you know, like you gotta stay the course long enough to get some traction, right? So I think there's a lot of factors, but underestimating what it's going to take is a big one.
Underestimating, that's great feedback. Since you have background in psychology and training and like skills development, like skill set development, how much do you think mindset does it has to do with starting a private label now in 2022?
I mean, I think mindset is that's why I started, like the most important discipline is mental and physical health, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Life can be hard, you know, business can be hard, you know, I mean, and they don't stop, right? Like, you know, the curveballs, the chaos, the challenges, like, you know, we all like to think that, you know, life is all 100% rosy and joy filled. And that, you know, that's just not a reality, right? It's got some challenging points. And I'm not saying that, you know, people aren't happy. I mean, of course you can, and you can shift your perspective around a lot of things to pull joy out of almost anything, right? Yeah. But life's going to keep coming, right? And the challenges are going to keep coming. And, you know, my experience, the harder you work, right, the more that you are focused and driven, the universe has a way of testing your resolve and putting things in your way that, like, God, man, like, I just got this going, right? And now there's this. Yeah. You know, and being able to keep that in perspective and, you know, having a long range vision and understanding how to navigate through the kind of ups and downs you know, waves of challenges is super, super important. I mean, look at the last couple of years, right? We saw, you know, freight on a container go from $3,000 to almost $40,000, right? Mm-hmm. Like, How do you solve that one, right? And again, like most things in life, it's temporary, right? You know, and so we've got to shift and adapt and flex. And a lot of businesses got really creative over the last couple of years in order to sustain themselves through it. And now containers are back down super cheap again. So, you know, it's a lot of that. It's, you know, keeping a clear, you know, the more clear you are on the vision, the easier it is to see these things as just part of the process, mm-hmm. you know? And when you're unclear about that or haven't really figured out a deeper sense of purpose or direction, then the obstacles in the way can be demoralizing, right? Yeah. Because, you know, you just see them as things that are constantly there stopping you from having what you say you want, right? So, yeah.
100%. Yeah, I love that feedback. Actually, this is like something that I didn't prepare to ask, but do you think that entrepreneurship can be learned? Because this is like, it's not so much about, it's much more about, okay, gaining from A to B, rather than it's like going all over the place. And it's really like a mental game, right? The reason why I'm asking this is because I also like chat with a lot of friends and like also with family members. And for them, it's like, oh God, you have to do that and that and that. I couldn't, right? So do you think that you have to be an entrepreneur to really be an entrepreneur, or it's like something that can be learned during the way?
I think it's learned in almost all cases. I don't know what it means to be, you know, born an entrepreneur. Like I don't know. And you called me a serial entrepreneur. I wouldn't say that I'm that at all. You know, I have friends that, you know, run 2, 3, 4, or 5 businesses successfully all at the same time. Like that's not me. That's never really been me. So I think all of us learn it. I think we all start somewhere. I think that, you know, there's probably a spark of something in most people, right? That, you know, either always wanted to be in their own business or just felt that they wanted to, you know, there's something there, right? Like, but it could have been just a desire. It could have been a dream. It could have been, you know, and then I think for a lot of people, like sometimes things just kind of, you know, you get there out of necessity, right? You've this happens and you just do this and, you know, it's, you're not predicting it going forward, but looking back, you can easily see that how all the, you know, dots kind of connect. So I think in most cases it's learned, you know, mm-hmm. I think maybe innately you're better at something than other people, but you know, you got to learn the rest. And, you know, at the very, very least, you have to learn to surround yourself with the people that do the things you don't do well. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, which is why, you know, most entrepreneurs I know that have been doing it for any length of time, they're still studying, they're still learning, they're still on podcasts, listening, you know, and learning, they're still going to events, they're still training. It's just kind of an ongoing part of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. Yeah, I agree with you. But it's interesting to also like chat with other entrepreneurs and ask their like point of view, because yes, it's one thing that I am telling you, yes, it is a learning process and so on, but it's like something else when, okay, hey, this is why it's a learning process, right? So it makes total sense. So
yeah, I think there's probably similarities to a lot of entrepreneurs. Like I think there's probably like you can go back and kind of like connect, like having a level of curiosity in life, right? Which not everyone has, right? But a lot of people do. You know, I think like, you know, having a mind that's like wired into, you know, trying to find solutions to things, or, you know, a hard-pressed sense of freedom, you know, a healthy disdain for authority. You know, these are all things that could contribute to you being an entrepreneur or a criminal, right? I mean, you know, whatever, but depending on the path, you know. So, you know, I think that there are definitely some points of connection, but I've met great entrepreneurs that really don't share any of those things and are brilliant at building businesses.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think, are there any questions that we should have asked about this topic?
You know, I think that I don't know. I think that I think that the one of the areas that is challenging for a lot of like it's really easy to get into this living life through this like comparative lens, right? Like we're constantly comparing ourself and our progress and our this and our that with other people, right? And that's it's a really unhealthy way to live, right? It's a really unhealthy way to live. It can really easily like rob you of joy, rob you of personal pride of an accomplishment. And it can get you really off track because you think, what something is, what it isn't, right? And that kind of goes back to that same quote that you started the conversation with, right? You can't compare, you're comparing highlight reels across highlight reels is just an empty existence, right? So, set your own standards for yourself. Use the stories of other people as inspiration, as learning points and guideposts. Know that there's generally more to those stories than what hits, social media or meets the eye, or that makes it onto a podcast. No offense intended.
100%.
Come up with your own standards for life and living and business, and at the end of the day, if it works for you, it works, right? And so, no one else is going to pay your bills. No one else is going to create your joy. No one else is going to make you happy. No one else is going to get your ass in shape, right? Like these are all things that are inherently very, very personal. And, your life is yours to build the way you want it. And that, if that includes a business, awesome. And your business is yours to build the way that you want it, right? So, not everyone wants an eight figure business, right? Like a lot of people, if they could clear $150,000 a year after tax, after expenses, oh my
That's
God,
great.
like they would be so freaking excited. Most people have no idea what it takes to make that, but I mean, in the e-commerce world, I mean, a lot of times that means a seven figure business, right? And that's if you're not reinvesting in the growth, right? So, create your standards and compare yourself against that.
Love it. Better like that. Yeah, you couldn't even say it. So, yeah, and I truly, really hope that all our listeners are going to like take a good listen to this, because the reason why I wanted to record this podcast, honestly, is, yeah, I called you serial entrepreneur just because like you have like a you've been so through so many things. You built so many businesses, maybe not in the same time, but I think what you learned from each business, you learned one new skill set that now you have like a 10th 11, 12th business, whatever. And it's like you have all those skill sets already with you, right? But most entrepreneurs who are just starting on Amazon, they're not even entrepreneurs. They just want to renounce their 9 to 5. They want to start.
Sure.
They just seen a YouTube video on, I don't know, last night, right? And it's like, today I'm going to renounce my, I don't know, just quit my job and just say that this is for me, right? And the truth is that most of the time, those people are not going to be successful because they don't have all the skills already there that you would have, that I've gained, that I'm like a lot of questions, a lot of answered questions, let's put it that way, they don't have it, right? So this is why I love to create some of these like more how do you call it, more abstract yet mindset, yet it's like these are important
Sure.
things to us, right? Because most people are not. Most people are already analytical and data-driven, which is great. But at the end, it's really like getting back to why am I doing this? Is this the right path? And am I focused enough, right? So all the things that you were saying. So yeah, this was super fun. And to be super respectful of your time, before we're wrapping up, a few questions that I'd like to ask. First one, since we talked about personal development, what is your best $50 or less investment you recently made to make you a better human being?
Oh, let's see. I could have funny ones or I could have serious ones.
Both, we want both.
Yeah, $50 or less.
And he's smiling on the camera, so for our
yeah,
audience.
so I think that I can't say that. Anyway, I don't want that to be on a podcast forever. $50 or less. I'm gonna have to come back to that one because I honestly I'm trying to think. I'm gonna have to come back to that one. $50 or less is tough. There's not a lot of great stuff under $50.
Yeah, so the main idea behind is like something that it's attainable and it's like it's really improving stuff, even if it's like
all right,
it can be 100, 200, whatever.
I'll say a couple then. Okay. If you're a guy and you have facial hair, a really good trimmer. Okay. I think arguably the things that make the, I think that I'm a big fan of investing in good pillows, in good shoes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And a bidet. Americans don't get bidets, but they're amazing. So, right. That was my best purchase over COVID. Yeah, I think like an old friend of mine taught me, like, I'm not materialistic. I don't like stuff is not a big deal to me. And I think like, but when I really like something, like, so like I'm really into pickleball, right? Like I'm massively obsessed. I play almost every day. So I want a good paddle. I'm going to invest in really good shoes and the gear. Like I invest in good quality, high quality stuff around things that I'm really passionate and interested about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's an important kind of mindset for everything. Like, you know, if you really love yoga, get yourself a really nice mat, right?
Yeah.
Get yourself the tools for your craft that are going to bring you more joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And more expensive stuff doesn't always do that, but generally speaking, quality enhances the experience.
100%. Like,
yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, yeah. You bet.
What are your top three favorite books and why do you love them?
Top three books. That is so hard. I probably read a couple books a month, maybe two or three. So that's hard. I would say, but looking back over my life, let's see, most impactful. So, The Catcher in the Rye was the first book that I liked that I read. I think I read it when I was like 14 or 15, and up till then, like, it was all like required reading books were all just horrible in school. And that was the first book that I read that I was like, oh, that's a big book and I actually enjoyed it, right? I didn't start really getting back into reading until I was in my like mid-20s when I was started really into entrepreneurship, or early mid-20s. I think The Wealthy Barber, one of my favorite books around finance. It's an old book by David Chilton. The Untethered Soul is one of my favorite books of all time. Michael Singer. A little bit less known book called Tribes. Not the Seth Godin book. Not Tribe. This is by Sebastian. I'm going to look it up on my Audible. I've read some great books just in the last couple months. I'm reading Can't Hurt Me, which is an old book by David Goggins. I just read Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey, which I thought was fantastic. So lots of good ones, but Untethered Soul, Wealthy Barber and The Catcher in the Rye. I'll leave it at that. Tribe by Sebastian Junger, J-U-N-G-E-R.
Okay, I was also Googling in the meantime. Great. Brilliant. And last but not least, how can people find you? Can get a hold of you? Say hello.
Yeah, so my agency is Page One, so it's page.one, so there's no .com. I do almost all my business networking through LinkedIn, so it's LinkedIn slash Keith B. O'Brien. Facebook, I kind of leave for personal friends and family, things like that, so I generally don't respond to business contacts there unless. My Facebook is for people that I know in person. So if we've met at an event or something, cool. But I do all my networking through LinkedIn. So those are the two places to get us, either through the site or LinkedIn.
100%. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was fun, and I certainly hope that also our audience took only the best things here, right? So I think that
There you
this was
go.
great. Thank you so much, Kate. And
Thank
for
you.
our audience, be good till next Wednesday, because I'll be back. Take care. Bye.
Bye.